This is Due By Friday, a weekly challenge podcast with Merlin Mann, Alex Cox, and Max Temkin. This week's challenge, just do Christmas.
You guys going to introduce our guests or what?
Well, I got my dick in my hand here. What's going on?
Alex, record the podcast.
Christ.
Whatever's
right.
in the show is
here
in the show.
Here we go.
Okay.
All right. We didn't hit record. Now we're recording.
All right. Hold on.
Who manages this podcast studio? What is happening?
In my defense.
Just spent another $10,000 on equipment.
Normally, I use a logic template or I prepare a logic template for whatever kind of show we're doing. And then Chris adjusts it as, but at the last second, we decided to have our friend James, who's
right,
in town, be a guest. Max, please
great
introduce
story.
James.
Great story, Alex.
Okay.
Hey, who's on the show today? What's going on?
All right. Here we go.
I worked really hard on the templates.
Challenge each other. Challenge ourselves.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Due By Friday. Challenge each other. Challenge ourselves. It's the weekly
Friday.
Challenge podcast. Hello. all right. This week we're joined by special guest James T. Green, independent podcaster, radio producer, storyteller, journalist, graphic designer, front end developer,
Apple
Watch wearer, pulmonary embolism haver.
God damn it.
That's a really good way to put it.
You think Bitcoin's a bubble? Try my veins.
We'll put a link to. Please listen, but really, please
it's
listen
already,
to.
It's in the fucking document.
Okay.
Look at the
document. I know. But people don't look at the show notes. They never look at the show notes. Despite also, Merlin, I work hard on the templates. And Merlin and I work very hard on the show notes. This was a great
Alex,
story.
Did you get the right logic template for this one?
Oh God. I'm just using GarageBand, and I'll chit later. Good morning, afternoon, everybody.
Hello.
I'm on it's a holiday vacation. Yeah. Max, are you back to work today?
Well, basically what the scenario that's occurred in the Temkin household is we're both very sick. Me and Veronica we're both very sick. We came back from Christmas Day at Veronica's family's and we both immediately crawled into the bathtub and she went to sleep and we were both just very sick. We just have a fever and a head cold. And also the heat, and also it's 1 degree in Chicago, and our heat went out. So that was fun couple of. That was a good challenge. it was very exciting.
Challenge yourself.
And we basically sealed off the bedroom, and we hotboxed the bedroom, and we were smoking weed in there. But then we just put a heated blanket and a space heater, and we made the cat come inside, and then we just sort of. Waited it out until the morning, and then our heating company came. And I will say, in my defense, the heating company came, and there was something seriously wrong with the heater. There was some sort of water had gotten up into the heating system. I was worried that it would be I didn't change the filter or something really dumb. And no, it was actually something I could not have fixed on my own.
That's such a relief.
The guy got right in there with his lips and he sucked the water out.
Wait.
Yeah, wait a minute.
He
came upstairs.
Gas?
Yeah. So he came up there and he turned it on and it started sloshing around
Are you kidding me? Can we curse on this show?
Yeah.
Are you?
James, you don't listen. No, yes.
You can
get all of your fucks out that you're holding back
you
on Robo.
Yeah. So the guy comes up.
Put his lips.
Yeah. So the guy comes upstairs and he turns on the heater. So here's the deal. Guys, I'm pretty handy guy. I know how to fix things. So what I did was when it was out, I stared at it for a few minutes with my arms folded. I scratched my ass.
Fucking cool.
That seems to be part of the process, scratching your ass. And then from what I've observed. And then what I did was I went over to the breaker and I turned off the power to the heater and then turned it back on. Cause I thought that's worked at the office once or twice. One time the heat went out in the office and I turned that power off and on and it started working again. So I thought maybe that'll do it. It didn't do it. So anyway, the guy came over, he did something where he powered the whole thing down and turned it on. And then it sounded like a frozen margarita maker when he started it back up. Sounded like a washing machine. Like there was just a gallon of water sloshing around in this heater. And so he pulled a little rubber tube off of a nipple, popped it right off and he put it up to his lips. And then he just started sucking. Like he sucked the blue milk right out of it.
No, sir. Well, I'm wondering.
We're seeing that today. No spoilers.
Oh my gosh! Yay! Okay. But
is it possible that his entire career consists of trying to find jobs where he gets to suck liquid out of things, and he just happened to be the right man for your job?
I feel well, like 100%.
This is like my this is like my contingency plan. Where if I
think I see the problem with your PC. Oh my god.
It's like, you know, it's like you got to do what you love. Like, if you get a foot fetish, you got to work at a children's foot store. At the shoe store.
Jesus. No.
A children's foot
store. No.
You know, the shoe store.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean.
Yeah, the foot store.
Well, the problem is you're going to need to massage these for a while to fit them into the Buster Brown.
Nope. Jazz break.
You got to love what you do. It's important to love what you do.
Yeah, you know what you got to do? You eat some fucking almonds so you can come hard, and then you work at the children's foot store. Hakuna Matata.
Anyway, so heat's restored.
Oh, good.
Yeah, everything is back to normal. All the water is siphoned out of the heater. And
you need anything else drained? We're good.
It's like the lips are already warmed up. Might as well.
I have a variety of tubes. God, don't get in the van. Don't get in the van.
I have a new house hack for you.
Ooh.
Well,
house hack.
Have you ever, you talked about hotboxing, have you ever chemical boxed yourself?
Go on.
Okay, So this morning, my wonderful, wonderful partner cleaned the shower, and I was like, oh, this smells really nice. What a nice, pleasant, chemically, you know, bleachy smell it is in the shower. And then halfway through, I'm like, kind of lightheaded. Do I have, like, a hangover? No, I didn't drink last night. And then I'm thinking, like, what's going on? And I could have gotten out of the shower, but I just kept being like, oh, what a nice feeling. What a pleasant, pleasant feeling. And then I kind of forgot where I was for a while. Turns out they put some serious, like, if people remember during the holiday party, I was like, remember to get the Drano. They did. And you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to be anywhere near your shower for 12 hours. So I had a wonderful, wonderful little head hide this morning. And then James gave me a cookie. James, what was in that cookie?
It was a special cookie. It was a...
No, it wasn't special, though. It was not special.
It was a kind of special. It was a house special cookie. It was a CBD cookie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Whoa. As in the oil? As in the cannabinoids?
Yes. This was... did you see
That's
my transition?
That's so interesting. I have a cannabinoid story for this
I told a good story.
Wait a minute. So you hotbox yourself with cleaning chemicals?
No, I chemical box my... I got really high from, apparently, the Drano. But then...
The kids call it inking, but what you... They call it. The kids call it rattle can,
no,
squine,
no,
dusting,
kids are calling it
butt hash,
drain box,
shamboiling, jank'em, fart bonging, snow, huffernating, cheesing, womping, Tennessee sneezer, Carbona, aerosol cocktail, spiritual raptor, spirus raptus, hawd, sad cow, axe cologne high, gutter bunny, slow rhino. Kazaps, laser kittens, grommet, axe head,
what?
Fat lip, noodle complex, juffin. But what you don't know about it, inhaling chemicals could kill you.
Well, I was like, I'm
plus,
not
we'll hear from Andy Rooney.
Pump head, gas boy,
no.
Street names.
Oh, good old gas boy.
you might have something, Alexandra. Have you ever explored the fact that you might have a fake disease? Because you should look into the various kinds of fake diseases that you.
Do you ever have any fibers coming out of your skin?
You might have fibers. I think you might have Morgellons. I think you need to look into the fake disease called multiple chemical sensitivity, because I think you might have it. Are you aware of multiple chemical sensitivity?
I'm not. What's that?
Okay. Well, I don't want to get into it because we'll save it for the show.
Okay.
But multiple chemical sensitivity is a fake disease that I think you might have. Mm. You might have Morgellons too. I'm worried that just knowing about Morgellons will give me Morgellons. Because when you read about Morgellons or watch the videos about how they're caused by chemtrails, you will start scratching at your wrist.
Well, you get fibers.
You get the fibers and you get little mushrooms and you collect them in a bottle cap. And you take them to the doctor and you say, here's my Morgellons.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
it's all part of the, they call it the etiology. That sucks. You know, it used to be a rookie mistake.
That was pretty good, actually.
Whenever they'd hire a new dishwasher at the restaurant I worked at, there'd always be a guy who decided that he was going to do a little life hack and clean the floor with a combination of bleach and ammonia.
And then we'd find his body. Because yeah, he'd right. always pass out.
Jazzbrick, I want to finish my story with the CBD because as
wait
Merlin
a minute, you
said,
told you did two stories. We didn't have time to make fun of you for the first one.
That list. Listen, all right. James, do you have any comments about me poisoning myself this morning?
I mean, you seem to be okay.
I think that's because you gave me a nice treat. And I'm just real relaxed right now because I kind of had a headache. The headache has gone away.
I had some friends who painted a lot of Warhammer 40K miniatures in their dorm room in college with the door closed. And I think that they took a pretty significant hit to the IQ there.
Mm. I've been knocked down a few points.
I had a model car phase when I was like in like elementary school, and it definitely involved me being in a closet with like various paints,
just leaning over a can of paint thinner. Yeah,
me painting the '67 Chevy in a closed
Jesus,
area.
Who are you?
You know,
oh my God.
There's a lot you don't know about me, Alex.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised by this. Yeah.
He's a closeted car painter. My daughter does not even try to hide the fact that she likes to huff. She loves the smell of gas, and she goes, gasoline. And
oh,
her other favorite thing
same,
is she'll open
same.
A marker even when she doesn't need to, and she'll be huffing on a marker.
Merlin,
and she'll just be like, marker.
It's very important that you can't discourage that interest, because otherwise she's going to grow up to be a huffer.
French families as young as the age of 10 will give their kids markers at dinner, just a small glass.
Yeah, it's like, listen, if you're going to huff, I'd rather you do it at home.
I'd rather you do it at home.
So, Alex, you might be able to, feel this with me. So, remember, like, when we were, like, I guess, like, in elementary, junior high, they had, like, those, like, smellable markers.
Oh,
that
yes.
essentially were teaching young kids how to huff.
Oh, yes.
It's
yes.
like Big League Chew for
yeah.
huffing.
Yeah. It's the gateway drug. You know, it's like... Like, oh, I'd God. Love to find
kind
out.
Kind of a lesson is that. Yeah. Here, kids, these smell delicious.
I remember at recess, we'd be, like, passing them around and being like, oh, yeah, that's definitely chocolate. Oh, yeah, that's definitely...
Kids come home with purple around their nostrils.
Yeah.
Let's see what other things smell like.
The kids call it purping.
Yeah. And eventually, you would think that they want to upgrade to, let's say, now we go on to the glue, and now we go on to the computer cleaner. Like, it's like... Like it's
try these intravenous Smarties. It's just candy.
What if, in fact, these markers were part of like Big Pharma? Like it's just like,
oh, you're
like
getting
a plant
marker.
You know?
Oh God, the gateway drugs start.
Well, like, look at you take Whippets. Like there's no universe
Why
in which we need
episode?
This many Whippets for whipped cream.
Why? There's this thing in my mind after almost every episode when I think Merlin has tried to explain Whippets to me about four times, and I still don't really understand how one would whip. But
can I ask a Whippet question?
Yes, you do. No.
So, okay, do you guys, Merlin, do you ride a bike?
No.
Okay, James, you have a bike.
I have
still,
a
right? Do you have a flat kit?
I don't have a flat kit.
Okay, God. Everyone's useless to me in telling the story. Okay. So I ride a bicycle. Thank you. I ride a bicycle, and I have a flat kit. And in my flat kit, I have a little metal tube.
I imagine you wear your Dr. Who scarf on your little bike. No, I'm sure you're very dignified.
You owe me an apology. okay. In my flat kit, I have a little metal canister, and I can crack that. And I can put the canister into a little cracker and put it into my tire. And if I get a flat, it will like inflate the tire. It has like just enough compressed gas in it to inflate the tire to enough that I can ride it to get it fixed. That little thing, if I cracked it open and huffed it, I'd get high.
It looks like it's a little tank. It's
It's a tiny.
You see
little...
him on the street because the kids are doing them.
And I don't think it's air. And the reason is because I don't think it's air because when you crack it open, it gets very cold when you discharge it. So it makes me think that it's some sort of chemical
liquid.
In there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Remember, isn't this? I don't know, Max. When you were in Japan, did you go to an oxygen bar?
No.
Isn't that like a thing? I don't.
No,
know.
No, I feel like I don't want to know.
That here, we had that in San Francisco for a while.
I feel like I would get high in a bad way from that.
I don't really know how they work.
I worry. My sinuses are so bad. I'm no Alexandra, but my sinuses are so bad that I fear it would be in a Morton Joe type situation where like I would go to the oxygen bar and be like, wow, I feel alive for the first time. And then I would be hooked. I'd be hooked on oxygen. Do not become addicted to the oxygen bar. It's one character. love oxygen, but I'll tell you now. Now here's the thing. Now, you take a dump or you blow your nose. There's a couple events in life that will make you feel alive under the right conditions, and it's very disturbing. As you get older, there are certain things that once you've purged your body, you suddenly go, ah, I feel 40 again. This is great. I need that. I think I could do a Frank from Blue Velvet type situation. Maybe get like a camel toe. What's it called? Get a camel back of oxygen and a mask. And I'll tell people it's a CPAP. It's a walking CPAP. I need that for my sleeping. And they'll say, what? Why are you talking to me? Why? This is the subway. So you think you're better than me? But I'll be feeling better. It's like kind of like taking a poop. Mm. I sent you the You Owe Me an Apology collection that you can watch at your leisure.
Mm. You owe me an apology. You owe me an apology.
I'm just doing an impression of Merlin doing an impression of the guy. I've never even seen this movie.
It's not a good movie. It's got all the hallmarks of an film. It's got lots of like over talk and like crazy shots and big groups. It's like MASH, but with Popeye and not good. I think it was a lot of cocaine. I think it's another movie that was made of cocaine.
You guys ate the CBD cookie.
Yeah.
I got a story about
that. Now, you bought this legally.
Yeah.
It seemed like it blew Max's mind this morning.
I didn't know you could get CBD legally in Illinois. That's cool.
I didn't either, and I freaked out. And I was
Are you feeling? Has it activated yet?
Yes, it is. It is fairly activated right now.
How are you feeling?
It feels honestly like muscle relaxers. It's you get the body feeling of being very relaxed from being high without the psychoactive. So
is it kind of like an indica?
Yeah, it's kind of like that same feeling without the like psychoactives. So I'm not like
indica.
Like you know the feeling of being high where you feel like you're floating. It just feels like my body's just very loose.
Are you talking about indica versus sativa strains?
Exactly.
Is that what you were talking
yes.
about?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The effect of sativa strains is often described as strong, uplifting head high.
Yep.
The other ones that produce a more body centered stoned effect. Is that what you're talking about?
Yep.
Merlin, the kids call it marijuana.
Mary Jane, jazz, penis balls, tetrahydrozoline.
What?
Loose leaf, shake.
It does change every couple of years what the cool kids are calling it. When I was in college, we called it trees. Was kind of that was like the most cool thing you'd say. Like, hey man, you holding any tree?
Wow, you saw like a fucking undercover cop.
But
if you came up to me,
I know. But that's what everyone said in my college.
If you came
up
to high school, you'd said, hey, I'm looking for some trees. And I'm like, look at this fucking cop over here.
Well, I'm just saying that's what people called it. And now I think people call it flower.
Oh, nice. I think we used to call it school supplies.
Yeah.
I gotta go pick up some school supplies.
This is not the like there's like evergreen names. Like, I mean, I think people will always say like pot, basically.
Yeah.
Like if I talk to my parents about pot, we'll say pot, because that's a way for the 60s people and the kids of today to commute. Hey, should we smoke a marijuana cigarette, a jazz cigarette together? But
911 in the microwave.
But I think the kids today are calling it flower.
Oh, that's nice.
I think like it's more or less like it's the distinction now because there's like more oils and all those type of things, and it's like you either want oil or flour.
Dude, it's fucking crazy. It's turning into like avocados. It's like it's turning into steak. There's like too much information in the menu when I go to a steakhouse.
Or wine, maybe like wine.
Yeah. It's like there's like too much information for me to decide, but I don't know.
Well, now you got like so many different varieties of flavors, like mouthfeel and.
Oh my God! Go back to Brooklyn, Jesus Christ!
mouthfeel.
Alex, are you feeling anything from this? I mean, you've washed it down with five Diet Cokes already, so
no,
I don't know.
No, it was a Starbucks refresher and then a Diet Coke.
A refreshing.
I mean, looking at you, you look very like radiant.
I've
right
almost
now.
Made
send me a photo.
Eye contact with. It's on
Here.
Twitter.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks, James. Oh Lord. Oh, good. Jason Snell, my idol for 20 years, amazing writer is. Oh, James, I don't know if you know this, but I'm a big fan of John Siracusa.
Siracusa.
John Siracusa. Merlin.
Oh, you look radiant in that photo.
Oh,
that's
yep.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy. But I believe this is another great story. Hey, Merlin and I were saying is wearing the same shirt. Woo! But we were wearing the same shirt, and Merlin's like, hey, can you send me a picture flicking me off? it's for something funny. And then he sent a picture to Syracuse. Yeah, I'm still upset.
In an ATP shirt.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for telling me.
Why don't we let women vote?
I know.
I've got the photo here somewhere. I've been taking. Okay, so I do a podcast with a guy. And this guy, who shall remain nameless, has a habit of getting super into something. That is too generous of a word. He'll get really into something for a while. He got real into the CBD oil. And he said, you should try the CBD oil for the anxiety. And I said, I could really use something for my anxiety. So I started ramping up the CBD oil. I've been doing the CBD oil. I found at a point that if I take too much, if I take more than like 3 or 4 centimeters of the dropper, oh, brother, tripping. Basically tripping. Everybody with all this, you don't get any of the THC effects. It's just a real body. Fuck that.
But
I doubted my thoughts.
Now
but CBD, but CBD
cookies.
Is one of the psychoactive things in marijuana. It is one of the things that makes you feel good from smoking marijuana.
I just want to stipulate that in contravention of my better informed host, you so can take too much of this. Oh.
In fact, I think that I believe that when people talk about the different strains of marijuana, of like, oh, this is this, you know, whatever, indica, sativa, or different brand, different formulations or whatever, basically what you're talking about is different ratios of CBD to THC.
Yep. Yep. That's literally
those are the two
all it is.
Big, yep. Those yeah. are the really two main ones, right? This. So, of course, CBD makes you feel high. It's part of the feeling of the high.
Well, I'm gonna tell you a funny anecdote because I started cutting back my dose of that and taking it twice a day at a much smaller dose.
How did you feel when you took too much, Merlin? When you got high from it?
Tripping. I've tripped a lot.
Elaborate.
And I well, the first time it happened, oh God, I hate this. Why am I saying this? I have a child. I woke up one morning and I was like,
took a legal vitamin, basically. Let's not shave. Yeah. This is a safe space. Mm-hmm.
Well, it all seemed to be doing nothing up to a point. And then one morning I woke up and I went, Now, of course, at this point, just to spoil the story, it had not occurred to me it's because I had too much of this oil, this minty chocolate oil. And I woke up the next day and I went, I feel kind of strange. And I feel like it keeps occurring to me that I can't have thoughts that exist for more than 3/4 of a second, and I'm pretty sure I've had that thought, but I can't be sure because my thoughts aren't really retaining for any more than like 3/4 of a second. And then I started walking around and I was floating, not in a good way. I was feeling very fucked up, and I had to just go be like, you know, the same way when you have too much of the marijuana and you're like, I just need to go be in a beanbag chair in another county. I had that feeling for a whole morning trying to play it off legit with my family. And then I was like, oh, you fucking dummy, you had too much of this stuff. But it was bad. It was pretty harrowing for like 4 hours. Not a terrible trip, but like at least when you take something that makes you trip, you go like, oh, I'm going to go have this trip. And I'm kind of prepared for that. But when you wake up on a Saturday morning and you like just keep staring at the fireplace, like it's bad.
These but all sound like wonderful things.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
No, you don't want it when you're not. You don't want it when you're not.
Oh, no. I agree. But
planning
but,
for it.
But when you have a season of Top Chef to watch. Anyway, go on, Merlin. I'm sorry.
Well, just the last part of the story is I had a kind of funny reverse example of that. I woke up this morning. I woke up this morning and I was like, fuck, I feel pretty good today. And both of my sleep tracking apps told me I slept pretty well. I got some good REM sleep. And then I remembered a funny thing. I remember that yesterday afternoon, I says to myself, you know what? I'm not going to take the CBD oil this afternoon. And I slept so much better. How crazy is that? And then I went and read up. And it says that it does stuff to your REM sleep if you take the CBD oil. Mm. That if you have stuff like night terrors, it's good because it greatly reduces your REM cycles. And I can tell you from my 2 sleep tracking apps, my REM cycles have been pretty fucked for the last couple months. Because I have two different sleep tracking apps. And then and now I'm thinking maybe this is something I need to phase out for a little while and do some science to see. What I'm trying to say is,
have you noticed any positive effects from using it?
Yes. I feel I cannot tell. I've bought some very, very, very costly CBD oil and have gone through several bottles of it over the last few months. in the constant search to try and get a handle on my anxiety. And I can't tell if it's a placebo effect, but I really felt like, like this seems to be helping. Not nearly as much as maybe don't drink that fourth coffee. Like that super
does it,
helps.
So this is as compared to nothing. The CBD
this
oil
is as
helps.
Compared to nothing. I have not smoked pot in a very long time because, spoiler alert, sub two, it doesn't always have a very good effect on me. I think I might be, I can drink all of the alcohol, as I think we've seen. But if I have, I've told you before that the two times that I had pot in a brownie, I passed out. So I'm starting to think that I might just be very sensitive to pot. Irrespective of dose, that you know what I'm saying? Like there are some people who like, you know, let's say you got a milk allergy. Like you cheese touches you and you're a sick little boy. Like that could be me and pot for all
Merlin,
I know. Maybe I just got lucky.
Have you ever taken a painkiller, like a Vicodin or something like that?
Fuck yes.
Did you like it?
I didn't used to. Like it more now. I think my pain thing needs lots of treatment. Like when I got my wisdom teeth out, they had to knock the shit out of me with like three different things for me to not feel it.
Huh.
I was like, I can still feel you tearing the tooth out of my head. And they're like, oh, that's normal. But I generally, they say there's two kinds of people. I'm the other kind.
Yeah, I don't like the any sort of sedatives or downers. So like I have very bad reactions.
I took some of my wife's Vicodin after she had surgery and I was pretty into it. Not too long ago.
Have you ever had morphine?
I don't think so.
I have had morphine in a hospital.
Yeah.
Was it pretty great?
No. Well, that's the thing is when I had it, I was in excruciating pain. So I slept.
You don't really have a control group. Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, I used it for its intended purpose.
When did you have morphine?
For my first pulmonary
embolism. Shit. Okay.
Oh, and wow. you feel like you are like floating on a cloud and like it was just literally just being pumped inside.
I've had family members.
This is very upsetting to me. This does not sound
pleasant. I won't go too far into it, but I've had family members.
I mean, it was in the best way imaginable.
I've had family members who like accidentally got, they didn't realize that they started to need that patch.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, you tell me, they say that like once you have that, you go like, oh, yes.
Oh.
I see why people get addicted to this. This is really nice.
Absolutely.
100%.
Really?
I felt it immediately. I was like, oh, I see why people get addicted to this shit. Like it was very pleasant. Like it almost felt like I felt like I was transcending above my hospital bed. And it was like I was like sitting on top of a cumulus cloud and like somebody was feeding me like cotton candy.
I want this.
And it was
It sounds horrible. It sounds horrible to me.
I'm not trying to make an ad to try morphine.
I'm James T. Green. For opioids.
Do you like feeling nice? Have you moved on beyond markers?
It's time to step up your game with opioids. Hi, I'm James T. Green, and I'm the opioid epidemic. Did you guys get my note about Santa?
I did. I loved your Santa handwriting. Or Santa's handwriting.
Yeah. This bit started a couple weeks ago where I just kept telling my daughter that Santa's had a really fucking hard year.
Mm.
I said Santa's had a very tough year. He hurt his back last year because of the opioid epidemic. It's going really bad. On top of it, he's got the diabetes and he has some coronary issues. He's also a very angry drunk. So I don't know if Santa... And then that became a bit and she would start talking about how Santa's the opioid epidemic. And then I accounted for that in my note to her.
Dick Doug, well, the challenge this week is it was like do the holidays because, but just I'm really, really love Christmas. I used to not believe in like staycations, but wow, it's been I like pretty
lights. That's the best part. It's the best part.
They're so... Stars Hollow in Gilmore Girls, it's like downtown Chicago's turned into that. But does your...
Oh, boy.
I'm curious. Does your kid still believe in Santa? Is it like a fate?
Well, I don't want to get too far into it because it's kind of personal, but it's crazy complicated. We had the talk I think a couple years ago, and she was like, oh, I knew that.
Mm.
And... And
Merlin,
you had the best
system for dealing with this with a kid that I've ever heard anyone talk about. It was absolutely diabolical. So you basically conscripted your kid into the Santa story.
Oh, I told her that it's like Empire Strikes Back. It's like now you know something and you are part of a special group.
Oh man.
So like you have now received very important information, and it is very important that you not impart that information on people who don't know it yet until it's time. Don't be the person who tells the thing.
Oh, like I said, I'm just like a Christmas whore, and I want to I want to hear about what you guys did.
I want to hear what everybody did. Yeah. I also want to talk about your idea, though, of the staycation thing, because I remember in particular in my 20s still feeling very bound to that, like, okay, we've got to do all the things and go to all the places and visit all the divorces of Christmas past and have different meals in different places. And, like, I'm so fucking glad to have that behind me. So like where now periodically we'll do a big Christmas visit, but staycation, silly term. But I love the like, first of all, there's less stuff to do unless you have to or choose to do it. But then there's also you have an out for fucking everything. Like, sorry, Christmas. No, we're going to sit here and watch Doctor Who for 16 hours today. Oh, Christmas, can't go anywhere. No. Clear my calendar, Clarice. I love it. I fucking love not having shit to do. And it's the best. I love it. And there's a tree. And there's presents. And it's Jubilee. So you're allowed to have extra chocolate. It's fucking the best.
Oh, there's. I literally had cookies for breakfast this morning. They were peanut butter, handmade. Well, I mean, I've talked about this before. In that this year was, I don't know if you said this. The whole like being busy is a choice, and that doesn't feel true to me, especially when you have like people you're responsible to and like kids and family and stuff like that. And this year it felt very busy, and I didn't really have downtime. Now there's a little bit of
downtime.
That's
good, because if you did have downtime, we need to have a conversation about time theft.
Yep. Oh, my God.
Because I'm not paying for any downtime, you know?
I'm having a little trouble reading your job description. Could you show me where relaxation is on the boot list?
Oh, God.
Well, it's funny. I'm having a hard time finding self-care on here. Is that, maybe I just need to get new glasses, but I can't do it because I don't have time because I'm busy. I'm a fucking salary man.
Oh, God.
Busy how, like, so, I mean, I'm not trying to contravene or defend, but, like, you feel like hustle bustle of the season, scheduling things, requirements for family participation. What are the kinds of things
No. I'm talking about like the entire year as a whole, both like personally and professionally. Whereas this, I was talking to my boss and she's like, okay, you really need to, you have like all your vacation days. Go away. So I got kind of kicked out of the office and I absolutely did choose. I'm like, all right.
What happens to vacation days in our company if you don't use them?
I have no idea. That was part of it.
I don't actually know either.
She's like, I don't know what happened. I think now we've determined they roll over, but I was like, okay, I'm going to take
Wait a minute. That can't be. Because
it wouldn't.
If our vacation days rolled over in like 4 years, you'd be able to accrue an entire year of vacation.
I'm sitting in on like the opening of an employee handbook right now.
So, we give people 4 weeks of paid vacation in our company, which I feel is
I feel is
pretty generous policy.
It's practically German,
and I still get that's kind of what we base it on. But I feel that that's very generous, and we still get a lot of grousing and complaining where it's like, why isn't it 5 weeks of paid vacation? Oh yeah, big time. Big time.
But that's the thing. This is the first time where I've been like, man, I'm okay being away from the office. Nothing is on fire. I was able to delegate. I'm almost an adult. But I very much choose to make my myself busy during the holidays because I like it a whole lot. Like mm-hmm. My seasonal depression is like opposite most people because I like it when it's cold. I like snow. I like for some reason everyone being assholes and honking at each other. It just rolls. It just
dibs.
dibs. Oh man, oh, dibs boy. Started.
James, will you explain to our audience what dibs is as a Chicago native?
Oh God.
All right, so dibs is essentially the reclamation of labor.
Oh my God!
So what is this essentially libertarianism? Like, so it's like So me, as a apartment owner, I spend X amount of hours digging out in the cold tundra. I feel like I deserve this parking space to be used for X amount of time while the snow is on the ground, be that one day or 1 week. So I claim my space by utilizing...
Or well into June. In some cases.
So I claim my space with an object of my possession to place in where I place the labor.
Could be a stolen police...
I've heard about this. They do this in Boston, too.
Could be a stolen police barricade. Could be lawn furniture. Exactly. Could be an old credenza. Yeah. So I've seen some crazy shit out there for Gibbs.
Oh, it's fucking
beautiful. Could be an old mattress.
It is.
Ironing boards, nativities, children's toys. So, there's all kinds of crazy
stuff.
So
my favorite thing about Dibs is like seeing like just how far people go. And for me, I respect it the most when it's like the more personal item, i.e. children's toys or the motorized power wheels. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite.
A pretty good Dibs power move I've seen. I see this more on the north side, but what people will do is they'll take four folding lawn chairs and they'll put them on all four corners of their Dibs. And then they take fucking police tape, like, you know, murder scene, do not cross. And they wrap it around and they build, they sort of like an excavator. They like walk out a little, pace out a little Dibs spot for themselves.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Very territorial.
It's very much the closest thing I felt like I've had to reparations since being out here. Is my
40
space.
Acres and a Dibs.
God.
Oh, Christ. Anyway, people in Chicago go a little crazy with the Dibs. And then every year in like April, the CPD has to roll in and like haul away everyone's like Dibs furniture because they try and claim their space as well into summer.
Well, and can you verify this? I remember first hearing about this, maybe on Car Talk, that it was a Boston thing. But I remember hearing, number one, if you dig out a spot, the conventional thing was that you put like a lawn chair there and that everybody in the neighborhood respects that.
Yeah.
But I've heard it said that if you don't respect Dibs, somebody might like break your window or something. Is that true?
That is 100%
true. Yeah, you could get your ass beaten if you
like what you did.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah. So I used to live in Pilsen and Pilsen very much respected the Dibs. And I remember like on my block particularly, like everybody on our block, we completely respected the Dibs. We were like, all right, like, you know, I would be coming home from like a long day and granted there would be a parking spot right in front of my building, but I respect the Dibs, you know? We love our neighbors. Mm-hmm. I saw somebody throw a Dib in the street and I swear to God, like somebody came out and just like completely fucked with this guy. And, you know, I looked and I was like, that's deserved. That's deserved. Mm-hmm.
I have so many feelings.
You respect the Dibs. It's a Chicago like it's an unspoken thing. You gotta respect
the
Dibs.
It's very next door politics on the north side of like, I don't know that you get your ass beaten, but you might get like a called out on Facebook. Like,
oh, see, you get the passive aggressive up there.
That's
yeah.
right. Yeah. Yeah.
yeah. yeah. Meanwhile, you might get sliced. But I respect it. Like it is very much like, I don't know. It speaks to our city the way we treat Dibs. I think so.
Well, it's a very Chicago attitude of like, you know, no one's gonna fix this for us. Like, there's no like, there's not like a reliable like municipal system to like remove the snow so that we can all park in peace. Mm-hmm. So it just becomes like law of the jungle. Like everyone just takes for themselves and claims their property. And people who like, if you're old and you can't shovel out a spot, like you just don't get parking. Like it's very like Lord of the Flies out there. But so on the one hand, I think you have like the civic spirit of like people. You know, I like the spirit of like people. It's very Chicago attitude of like, well, we'll just do it ourselves. But then obviously like that's why you don't want to run a society like that, because all of these people get left out.
Yeah. And I'm very curious of like and that's why like I gave like a little side eye to you, Alex, when I heard that like it was supposedly originated in Boston. I would love to fact check that.
No, Max said that.
I didn't say that. And Merlin said that.
I wasn't giving you side eye because you said it, Alex. It was more like, I guarantee
you Dibs did not start in Boston, because Boston doesn't have any street parking. It's one of those old eastern cities with streets.
Hoisted by the which are there. I'm looking at the Wikipedia entry for parking chair.
Oh,
a parking chair is a chair that is used by a vehicle owner to informally mark a parking space as reserved for oneself further down.
The kids call it parking chair.
A parking chair. This practice is especially common in northeastern states, Boston, Pittsburgh, and the upper Midwest and Great Lakes, Chicago, where it is called dibs.
Don't start with that because, you know, there's no street parking in Boston. It's all single lane. It's all built for carriages.
That's where Winchester
it's
lives.
It's like it's all one horse. Every street is the width of one horse. And there's no grid. Those people are savages. You guys ever try to drive in Boston? I've made that mistake.
Oh, yeah, it's terrible.
Oh, no, it's the worst. We were there while they were in, like, the 15th year of the Big Dig. And my lady and I pulled into our little hotel right off the, like, out of the tunnel. And we pulled off, and we're in the downtownish area. And we got in really late. And we got into our room. We got out the next morning. We got to head out. And all of the streets had changed. The streets were different the next morning. It was like a fever dream. You could not take the same streets
that
you took the night before.
Had you done a significant amount of CBD oil before you went to sleep?
No, but it was super freaky. There were a lady's scuffs under our bed, and we still talk about it to this day.
A what?
A what?
A lady's scuffs, like dirty lady scuffs, were under our bed, and it freaked my wife out so bad.
What is a dirty lady scuffs?
Okay, like comfy wear around the house slippers.
Scuffs.
We checked it. We made it through the maelstrom of Boston. We got parked. We got into
wait. What the fuck is a scuff? Hang on, please. Please pause. What is a scuffs? Yeah.
Okay. A lady's gonna walk around the house, shuffle around in her house dress, and she wants some nice, simple slippers. It's the kind of slippers they have, like, usually like a rubber bottom, and they're made out of terry cloth. You just slip a foot into
Merlin,
them.
Merlin, nobody knows
scuff
what
around.
Scuffs are.
I call those house shoes.
Oh wait. So is scuff a verb or a noun, or is it both?
I know, scruff.
A scuff is a noun. It's a shoe. It's a. It doesn't have a back on it.
That's a house shoe.
Anyway, they were filthy, and they were under
everybody.
Our bed
listen,
when we
everybody.
Into our
listen,
room.
I don't think scuffs is a thing. Please tweet.
What about flats?
Please
do you
tweet.
Think flats are a thing.
Please tweet Merlin if you're with us on this. If scuffs are not a thing, he's at Hot Dogs Ladies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks, buddy. All I did was respond to Max's request on the podcast as a fan, and now Merlin has muted me. You owe me an apology.
Do you guys use that that thing that builds your podcast RSS feed? Scuff Huffer.
Scuff Huffer. Great story, Max. Dibs. So James, you're from that area. You went away and I'm looking at your photos of stuffing and things. You came back to visit family? Is that
Wait, looking at my photos of stuffing? Yeah.
Actually, I have some concerns.
Yeah, no, I'm in for the holiday and yeah, just seeing my partner's family and my family and oh man, I miss the food out here. That has been the thing. Mm-hmm. That has been the number one thing.
What are your main foods that you've had while you're here?
Everything with cheese. Okay. And so the biggest thing that honestly I totally forgot is like the art of a solid hot dish, like a casserole.
Oh, hell yeah.
And just like, so my mom makes like the best casseroles you can imagine. It's just like sausage.
Describe egg. Them, please.
Oh, I will. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's about like a 12 by 10 pan.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And it's about 16 eggs. It's about 3 potatoes. It's about 2 types of sausage, 2 types of bacon, onions, peppers.
I'm rock hard.
I will whisper. This all
just
you.
Came twice. Yeah. And then just came 2 kinds of cheese.
Yeah. I'll lower my voice a little
shit,
bit.
Oh, shit, dog.
Oh, that sounds so good.
What is it about the Midwest and casseroles,
wait,
man?
You
we know how to do
are
it.
Are there crispy? Is there anything crispy on top? Is there a crispy layer?
Oh, you know there's a crispy layer on top of that.
What do you get? The crispy onions?
What's
crispy?
You get a crispy onion.
Shit.
You put an extra layer of cheese on there. You let it burn a little bit.
On the edges?
On the edges. Okay. See, is this, this is ASMR, you know? Oh, it's like describing Midwestern casserole.
Are you guys a holiday mac and cheese family?
Oh, hell yeah, we
are. Who's responsible for the mac and cheese?
My partner's mom, she makes the most banging mac and cheese ever. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, I don't know if y'all ever had mac and cheese made from black folks, mm-hmm. but it's pretty much like the best mac and
it's
cheese.
It's really fun. It changed my life.
What's the difference?
It's like not from a box.
It's okay. I would say, A number one, you use good cheese. There's no processed cheese. You get good ass cheese and you put it in there and it makes a huge difference. Yeah. Number one.
And it's oven baked.
Yes.
There's multiple layers.
Another important thing I learned, when you make your pasta, you power cook it. You cook it just a little bit in the water. Mm-hmm. You get it just a little bit soft, but then it sort of finishes in the oven.
That's really good.
And now, does she do a sauce?
She does do a sauce. Usually, you can do a little milk in there, sour cream, too.
Do you do the breadcrumbs on top?
That's a controversial. It's a controversial decision.
Yeah, it's like ketchup on meatloaf. It's very divisive.
Some people are all about it. I'm a fan of the breadcrumbs. She doesn't use
breadcrumbs. My lady makes homemade breadcrumbs from bread and then puts that on top, and it's so baller.
Yeah. If you do it right, though, I think the cheese, the top of it, you get a little bit of the noodles and the cheese, and it kind of gets that crunchy layer on top.
That was my mom's style.
Yes.
So I've just been eating all of the food out here, and putting a nice Midwestern layer.
And that mac and cheese, that kind of mac and cheese, it's like lasagna, where it's such a cliche to say, but it's so much. It's even better the second day when you can cut it out. You can make
when it comes to
a comically large square of that.
Yes,
it's so good.
Have you ever eaten it cold? Just for shits?
I feel like I probably have. I should, is that something I should explore?
Surprisingly,
more?
Really good. If you just eat the congealed cold mac and cheese.
Oh, I want it so much.
Oh boy, but yeah. Oh man, it's been great, and yeah, I love the holidays. I'm a Christmas whore as well.
Oh, nice. I'm a new Christmas convert. I started doing Christmas with Veronica's family the last couple of years. It's very pleasant. I really like it. We never did any Christmas stuff in my house growing up, and we did.
I don't like to get too religious on the show, Max, but for example, listening to Elliot Kalin on the Flophouse talking about how he returns null about Christmas. He doesn't hate Christmas. It's just that Christmas is absolutely not part of his life.
Yeah,
probably partly because of his up. What was your family's attitude toward, in as much detail as you want, what was their general attitude about Christmas as a thing, personally, familially, or as a cultural force?
It was neither a like or a dislike. It just wasn't a big deal. And in fact, I grew up in a really Jewish community, and everybody I knew did Hanukkah. And there was only a few families I knew growing up. I mean, probably I could count them on one hand that I saw Christmas trees. And I always thought it was a little bit weird. I don't know. I always thought it was a thing that was in movies, but not done in real life. Oh, wow. Like when I'd see Home Alone or a movie like that with a lot of Christmas stuff in it, I would always be like, oh, that's some weird movie affectation that families do that does not really happen in real life. And it's kind of delightful that people really do it. It's like discovering that people going to visit the Amish or something, and it's like, wow, you still churn your own butter. It's quaint.
So it's funny, when I was a youngin', I grew up in hardcore Black Baptist church. Mm-hmm. My dad was a minister.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in don't want to put it all out there, but a couple hours south of Chicago.
Okay.
Small, kind of small town, a little bit. So my dad was a minister. My mom was church nurse. So we used to do hardcore capital C, Christmas, not Xmas, Christmas. And I remember we would have church services on Christmas Eve. And I was in the church play of the nativity scene. I think I was a sheep. I believe I was a sheep. And
you're literally the black sheep. Yeah.
and it was just very much that thing. And we just was it's not Santa Claus. Santa Claus is secular. it was really looking back, and now our house has gotten a little bit more secular.
Did Jesus bring your presents? How did that work out?
I don't know.
Jesus' real present is that he died for our sins.
Mm-hmm.
What more? What more do you need?
But like we were super involved in Christian church when I was a kid, very much till I was maybe 12 or so. But like, there's something actually really the closest I ever got to like, holy shit, this really is like a Christmas special in some ways, was like going to a Christmas Eve service. Yes, you would go to a Christmas Eve service. The Christian church will keep you very busy around the holidays. Oh, yeah. There's lots of community stuff to do. There's plays and singing. There's so much to do like at the church and in the community. But there's something special about walking into the sanctuary at like 6:30 or 7. It's dark outside. And then when you come out of the, I remember this is probably 1977, Star Wars year. I remember coming out and there was snow on the ground after we walked out. Mm-hmm. And it's a very special feeling. I mean, it's for the first time you feel like you're in a Rankin Bass show or something. Like, it's really very special.
See, yeah. that is the exact kind of thing that I feel like the modern American life has like almost totally displaced. Like, I don't think I shouldn't say that. I think among the people that I know and in my bubble or whatever, like almost nobody is engaged with their church and like does activities through the church at any time of year, more or less the holidays. But like, it's been completely displaced, and I don't think we've like really thought through like maybe the role that played in everyone's life. It's got
to be up there with the decline of unions. It definitely in terms is. Of like you're going to see the effects of this in small to medium sized ways for half a century, and it's difficult to grok it all in one like year end wrap up.
Definitely a thing of community that I think about that a lot. It was almost like it was like a built in community that I felt like I had as a kid. Like, this was my second family. And it's weird, I guess, thinking about, like, you know, quote unquote millennials, like what now that we are becoming more and more secular, like, you know, what is our community? Like, what, Twitter? SoulCycle?
Next door?
WeWork offices? Like, you know, it's like all these like various like ways of people, like, in like, isn't it kind of fucked up when you think about it that all in all of us are just trying to search for community?
Yeah.
And it's just like,
I think that some of the, at least in the conventional wisdom, I don't know what the term is, but like, I remember one of the first stories I remember hearing when I was first visited San Francisco was like really understanding like what happened in the Castro. And just the idea that there was a place, it was such an interesting, in the context of like history and social stuff, the Castro was a very interesting story, because what everybody knows is, wow, out of nowhere, it became this big gay community in the 70s. But like what like less well known is that a lot of those people have been living in Haight-Ashbury until drugs fucking ruined that area after the quote unquote Summer of Love, which was like really three pretty much good weeks before the rapes and overdoses started. Everybody goes over the hill. The people who could afford it move into Eureka Valley, which is this area that was mostly firemen and nurses and teachers. And that became the Castro. But it became a place where, like, it was this, if you knew the code, wherever you lived in any city in America, you know that you could go and find people who were like you in this area. Mm-hmm. A story that continues to move me till this day. Now, of course, today on the radio, I hear a story about how basically the gentrification of the Castro is moving. Now, Oakland is the gay town that everybody moves to because you can afford it and you can have you and your partner can have a kid there and stuff like that. But, like, I think there's a lot, so much to be said for this idea that we make our own community and we make our own family and we find people of like mind and heart to build a community around. And I just want to be super clear. I'm not in any way trying to diminish that. But with that said, in a way that I can't really have this conversation too much with my wife, I don't miss the supernal BS of church, but I desperately miss the community of it. And just the fact that they're in every week, this is a group, I can't talk about this or I'll cry, but a group that helped us get through the illness and death of my father when they had absolutely no reason to be so kind. The guy who was there with my mom when they told me my dad died when I was 7 was the minister of our church that we did not belong to. That's what these people did.
Right.
That is, you don't get that so much now. And the idea of like there being this place where you get the bulletin, okay, here's what's going on, here's the songs we're going to sing, and then on the back you see everybody that's in the hospital. Because guess what? Mm-hmm. Please go visit these people in the hospital. And everybody did it. It's just like what you did. And it was a lot of work and a lot of responsibility, and I'm not in any way trying to say – what I am trying to say is, like, I have not found the precise replacement for that for my kid that everybody can be happy about.
But you know what's crazy is you get it works on both ends, because if you're the one that everyone is coming to visit, it's very meaningful to you and your family, like you're saying, but also, like – for a lot of people, like, being of service is the useful thing. Of, like, having a list of people to go visit in the hospital is the thing that they need in their life. And there's nothing like that organizes people in that way now.
But it's like leaving the
emoticon on someone's Facebook. Like, you click the cryy face.
Oh, you do the blue heart. Yeah. No, but I mean, even, like, people who volunteered. Like, so we had community potlucks Wednesday nights.
we always would do potlucks. But there were people who always volunteered and would do the same things. And there was people that I assumed worked at the church, but they didn't. They were just people who were in the kitchen because that was what they volunteered to do. Other people would help clean. Other people would do, you know, whatever it was, shoveling out the parking lot, whatever it was. Anyway, I don't mean to go on. It is very much nostalgic. 2018 is the year I'm going to try and turn away from nostalgia as a touchstone for everything after the Doctor Who episode. But I do feel like that is still, that is a piece that I, there's so much to not regret about the decline of that. The tribalism and the groupthink and the sometimes I think a little bit invasive God stuff, like I don't miss that, but like I wish there was easy community to be found today that didn't require building it yourself from scratch. So there's no blue apron for Jesus at this point. Well, I think I do miss that.
Well, I think that's what, you know, if we're trying to be funky about it, I think that's what WeWork is trying to do. And it's just like really just kind of weird to see like venture, what is it, venture cap, venture.
I'm looking at WeWork right now. It's co-working. Is that what
it
is?
Yeah, it's like we, and they do like various life things or whatever, but it's almost like venture backed. Like community space for people.
Yeah, they're expanding into like We Live and stuff like that, co-living spaces and things like that.
Yeah,
so,
and it's very interesting when you try to think about like what is that, you know, versus like the church or nonprofits where it is solely not based on growth, and like I don't know, like it's very like people are trying to fill that space, but it's like. It gets a little.
It's interesting though. So we keep teasing at this next door topic.
Digga. Follow up. This is an amazing motherboard story about this.
People who live in the bunk beds.
Yes. Oh, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but in pod-based community living, rent is cheap, but sex is banned.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
I love this article.
It's great.
AKA the hand jobs. Day.
Yeah, defined as a quote unquote co-living space, PodShare was co-founded in 2012 for social travelers and mobile workers who rent the beds for $35 to $50 a night. Quote, PodShare makes life more affordable because there's no security deposit or cost of furnishings, and we provide flexible living, said the founder, Beck. Pod life is the future for singles. Jesus Christ, which are not looking...
That statement right there, pod it's life. Like, that's such a, like a Rod Serling thing. It's the future for singles, who will always be single.
I know, which are not looking to settle down, but focus on their startups and experience something new.
Oh, what if that's part of the growth strategy? It's like, we don't want people to pair up, because so they'll be perpetually single and continue to live in the pods.
Yeah, the business model...
That's the business model. Quote,
we're creating a social network with a physical address, said Beck. Our open floor model offers the highest rate of collisions for social travelers. We do not identify with hostels. We are a co-living space or a live-work community.
What?
No.
Well, it's like everything you hate about cults and celibacy all in one bunk.
Yep. Quote, I started it to cure my own loneliness, said Beck, so I never had a night without friends.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. Is that the kicker?
We're not even there yet. Oh, my God. Affordable and set in central locations, some of the obvious limitations, especially for long-term guests, include the lack of privacy. There are also rules that include, quote, no pod sex, which can be a challenge for their queen-sized pods, which are a great money saver for couples.
A challenge?
Quote, we built the pods facing each other so the community polices itself.
Or if people want to watch.
Yeah. This
would you say it's a pod opticon?
It's a pod opticon. Even with that, pedestrians still managed to connect. Quote, a boy from Michigan loaded up his car and drove west while a girl got on a plane from Paris and checked into PodShare, said Beck. He is the bearded IT guy that wears sandals in 30-degree weather, and she is the tattooed alternative tattoo artist. They fell in love after 3 months together. Here and now, they live on Spring Street together.
Oh, they did all that without any finger banging at all.
No pod sex, Merlin.
No pod sex.
So they said it was difficult to have sex in a queen-size bed?
No, I think it's difficult not to have sex in the queen size bed because there's couples who live there, but they have a rule against having pod sex.
Where do you like,
James? What
you
if you and your wife moved into a pod place, and it's like no pod sex, but you can rent a queen size bed
question.
Together?
I got an awkward question. Are you allowed to go to the self service pump, or is it only with other people?
Oh boy!
Because you're telling me I'm going to go live somewhere where I'm not allowed to jack my mean bone.
You know,
is that really what I want now?
Well. I think that they probably have a hog cranking room. But you know, sometimes that self service pump,
it's like speeding
Merlin, Merlin, you know, the thing with that self service pump, sometimes it gets jammed up. You got to get the technician in there. He pops off the cap. You got to start the siphon.
Called the line. I'm here to fix your heater.
Oh, boy.